Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall to each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." This is the word of the Lord. We now read responsively by half verse our introit, which can be found in your bulletin. "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. For the sake of your servant David, the Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, for the Lord has chosen Zion. This is my resting place forever. I will abundantly bless her provisions. Her priests I will clothe with salvation. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. His enemies I will clothe with shame. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord has chosen Zion. Our second reading is from Acts chapter 2. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to take him to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had someone take the joy out of something for you? There's kind of lots of ways that this can happen, and I think the way I hear it most is when somebody takes something that is a hobby, something that they were kind of just doing just for fun, right? But then they start trying to make money on it, or they start trying to make a business out of it. And many times I'll hear people say that when they try to do that, that it can kind of take some of the fun out of it for you. It'll take the joy out of it sometimes for you. Or I've also heard and seen when people come in and you're sitting there doing something you enjoy, and all of a sudden somebody else comes in and they try to make it better. They try to make it more efficient, or they try to help you do it better, and you're kind of sitting there thinking, "I was enjoying it the way that it was before." Or maybe, and this is kind of another way of doing a similar thing, when somebody comes in and all that they do is they just complain about everything. Complain, complain, complain. It can kind of suck the joy out of whatever you're doing or out of you as you're doing this, right? My question for today, this day that we are celebrating the joy in a lot of ways, that's what the color pink is for, remember, it's the color of joy, is do we do this with our fellowship here in this place? When I say our fellowship, I mostly mean our congregation here. I mean our actual people. And I don't mean, I'm not trying to ask whether or not we're welcoming or anything like that. I'm asking, have we taken the joy out of our gathering, out of our congregation? To think about this question, to kind of process this, let's take a look at our reading for today, and we'll see, hopefully, first off, where our joy comes from. We'll see how the joy is expressed, and then we'll think about this a little bit for our people here and now. Let's go ahead and jump in with our reading. This joy of the fellowship that we hear about in our reading from Acts for today. And it's important to remember the context of what's going on here. This particular passage that we read is directly after Peter's Pentecost sermon. It's directly after the tongues of flames have come down on the disciples. They started speaking in tongues. And remember, that means that they were speaking different languages so that the people who were there, who were from different countries and knew different languages, everybody could understand them. They could hear them and know what they were saying. And God worked through that sermon so that 3,000 people were saved. Which, it should be worth noting, was more than had been saved, more than had been converted, even when Jesus was there. Jesus was, for all intents and purposes, alone when he died on the cross. Our reading for today is answering the question, well, what happened next? What happened after that sermon? And it gives us this picture of how the church begins to live their lives in this new joy that they have been given because of the resurrection of their Lord. And that's what we're going to be looking at for today. And the first thing that we should notice is that they devoted themselves to certain things. In fact, there was really two things in particular. There was the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And we'll start with the apostles' teaching. Don't forget that the disciples had now become the apostles. This happened when Jesus gave them the Great Commission. When he said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Notice again that teaching, that language that's there. That is when the apostles became the apostles. To be an apostle means to be somebody who is sent directly by Jesus. And that, therefore, is what the apostles were doing. That's what Peter was doing in his Pentecost sermon, is he was teaching the people. He was teaching them about the coming of Jesus, what that meant. He was teaching them that because of what Jesus had done on the cross, that the forgiveness of sins was theirs, that it's free. That it's a gift that everybody of every nation, of every language, is able to have. And not only that, not only are our sins forgiven, but he's teaching the resurrection of the body. He's teaching that not only was your sin defeated, not only was the devil defeated on the cross, but death itself was defeated. That death is no longer powerful enough to hold you because of what Jesus has done. That's what Peter and the rest of the apostles were teaching. That is the apostles' teachings that they were devoting themselves to at this time that led to this ideal picture of what the church looks like. But that wasn't the only thing they devoted themselves to. They also devoted themselves to the fellowship. And when you think of fellowship, you really should just kind of think, well, you're being fellows with one another. You're being friends with one another. You're being together with one another. And, thankfully, Luke makes it even more clear to us. He says, devoted to the fellowship, that is, the breaking of bread. And when you hear breaking of bread there, you should think about the night on which he was betrayed, when our Lord took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. That's the bell that should start ringing there, and that is what they were devoting themselves to the Lord's Supper, to communion. This is why when they went to go and worship in the temple, they worshiped in the temple, and they went there, but then they went back home and broke bread in their home, because they couldn't break bread with everybody else in the temple, because they actually didn't agree and believe with everything else that was going on in the temple. But also recognize that that is one part of fellowship, but there is also the prayers. They prayed for each other. They prayed for those whom they had been sent to. And by devoting themselves to these things, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, that is communion, and to prayer, they ended up living together and had all things in common. They believed the same things. They took care of each other's needs. They attended worship and broke bread in their home. They received with glad and generous hearts. They praised God and had favor with all the people. And the Lord continued to add to their number. This is what the church looks like in the best earthly circumstances that we can have. And that's not even the end of it, right? That notice that it's the Lord that is adding people to their number. This is an incredibly important thing for us to recognize as we think about our life today as well, that our job is to speak the word, but it is not our job to actually convert people. That's what God does. The Holy Spirit, in particular, does this. And also maybe notice that the way that it's phrased there, that people were being added to those who were being saved. That's us. We, right now, are being saved. Our Lord, right now, is in the process of working through his word to continually save you. To save you from your sin, to save you from hell, to save you from death. This is, in fact, the entire point of church. The entire point of gathering. To gather us all together, that our Lord gathers us all together. That he would be able to save us all from the wrath that we deserve. So then, with all of that being said, we see that our joy comes from this devotion to the apostles' teachings, and we see how that joy is expressed in all of the things that they were doing, that they were believing the same things, they were taking care of each other, they were worshiping, they were receiving from each other, they were praising God. So then, let us now consider how things are going here in our fellowship. And perhaps first off, and this is incredibly important, so don't miss it, let's recognize that we are in a very different context than what that early church was in. You can tell, even as you're reading it, that they were on the mountaintop. This was like the best time ever for them. The apostles were there. They who had actually seen their Lord, been with them for 3 years at least, who had actually seen the Lord ascended, resurrected, and they were the ones who were doing the preaching. Just imagine having Peter standing here giving you a sermon instead of having me. That would be awesome. It would be great. God was at this point creating the church, and it was a new, joyful thing. We now are 2,000 years later. It's been a while. That joy is still there. Don't mistake me. But recognize that we've been through 2,000 pretty tough years, and that that does have an effect on us. We now can recognize that while we can still have that joy might come with suffering and affliction at the same different time. And it's okay for us to recognize that while that early church was living in many ways in the ideal time, that we right now, while still living in the time when Jesus wants us to live, are in very different contexts than what they were then. But we can still examine ourselves. We can still look to see if that joy is still there. We can look to see if we are doing the things that they were doing. Are we devoting ourselves to the apostles' teachings? Well, you just heard quite a bit from the apostles, right? We just had a Bible study here this morning, Sunday school. We have a Bible study tomorrow that's going to be fairly well attended as well. We have a worship service on Wednesday when we're going to hear from the apostles again. What about being devoted to the fellowship? Are we coming together for the breaking of bread and for communion? It, of course, just so happens that the one Sunday in March that we aren't going to have communion is today, but it's the only one in March that we're not going to have communion, probably. And of course, we pray. We pray for each other as often as we can, as often as we remember to do it. This is part of the reason that we come together and that we will be doing here in just a few moments. That's where the joy comes from, the devotion to the teaching and the breaking of bread and the prayers. But then do we express that joy? Do we live together and have all things in common? Do we all believe the same things? Do we take care of each other? Do we attend worship and break bread together? Do we receive with glad and generous hearts? Do we praise God and have favor with all the people? It's fair to look at those questions and recognize that the answer to some of those questions is no. That we have not always done these things, that we don't always do these things. We are not perfect. We don't do everything that we are supposed to do, and we don't always avoid the things that we're supposed to avoid. But you are free to recognize the truth that that's why Jesus came. He came because we are not perfect. He came because we couldn't do it by ourselves. He came to save us. He came to give us joy, even when by all earthly standards we shouldn't have joy. And you are free to allow that to be your joy. The truth that even if we mess it up, that even if we are the worst church in the world, as long as we have the apostles' teachings, as long as we have the breaking of the bread, as long as we have prayer, that God is here, that God is working, that we are still among those who are being saved. And you're also free to recognize that even though the answer to those questions of how we're doing is that, well, maybe we could be doing better, that's not the answer for all of them. We do some of these well. This is proof of the fact that God is working in us, and it's proof of the fact that we, in fact, do have the joy that God has called us to have. This joy that comes from knowing that this current darkness, this current suffering and affliction is not the end of the story. the joy that comes from knowing what the end of the story is, that our Lord will return, and that when he does, that if we thought that Acts 2 looked good, our hearts are just going to explode with the joy of our Lord coming and looking at you and declaring you his. Declaring you his saints, gathering you together, and shepherding you into the new creation. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.